The Presidential Early Career Award for scientists and engineers is a little different than that. The White House awards them every year to young professionals at the beginnings of their independent research careers. Dr. David Reif is a statistician for EPA's National Center for Computational Toxicology. He's among the latest group of Presidential Early Career Award winners, and he's my guest to talk about his work. Dr. Reif, David, great to have you on the program. Thanks for being here today.
Great, thanks. Yeah, it's exciting to be here.
Tell me, please, first of all, what is computational toxicology?
Sure, yeah. So the basic science of toxicology is trying to decide, of all the tons and tons of chemicals out there, you know, and all the products that we have, hundreds of thousands, which ones are safe, you know, and safe for who. So the idea behind computational toxicology is to take that process and kind of speed it up. So we don't have time to go through each of those through years and years and years of testing and millions of dollars. We've got to quickly characterize them. So the computational part of it is doing that same toxicology, trying to decide what's safe, but doing it quicker and more efficiently.
The nomination information that I'm looking at here says that you were nominated for developing tools for prioritizing and profiling chemicals for potential toxicity to human health and the environment, as well as studying the various subsets of childhood asthma in order to develop more personalized diagnoses, management, and treatment of the disease. Now, I will confess ignorance because nobody in my family has asthma, but I didn't know that there were subsets of childhood asthma in the first place.
Yeah, I think a rough analogy might even be that, you know, hundreds of years ago, doctors used to, you know, assign fever to things that were really many, many underlying causes. And I think in some ways asthma can be similar in that what you're really seeing is some symptomatic effects, what you know, coughing, shortness of breath, wheezing, that kind of thing. And really you might have it because maybe you inherited it from your parents, maybe you live in a place with lots of pollution, or maybe it's exercise-induced. You know, so there's lots of reasons. So what we're trying to do is figure out, all right, not just do you have asthma, but what do you have so that you can actually try to maybe treat it better and sort of do more of the remediation things, like maybe moving you to somewhere in a nicer environment, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the work that goes into pulling all of this information together being able to draw conclusions from the numbers once you have this data assembled.
Yeah, I think, you know, on the front end, there's, you know, a bunch of really, really smart people who've come up with ways to actually measure these things and go out and do the field studies. And so that's the first challenge. But where I come in is, you know, me with my computer or my, you know, little farm full of computers, where what you try to do is say, all right, well, what's similar about these data? What ways can we make links between them? And then actually try to decide, you've got things measured on different scales, actually bring them together. So in some ways it's a statistical trick. But I think the real challenge is actually putting them together and then drawing some pictures or communicating it so that you can have actually experts in the field who aren't statisticians look at it and say, oh, I see, this makes sense, that doesn't make sense, you need to change this. So that's really my challenge.
Talk a little bit about any kind of collaborative technology that you're using, because it sounds like that's this opportunity is tremendous there, because you're communicating with different people in different ways about a lot of different things, I would imagine.
Yeah, 100%. I think one really fun thing about science as a field is that, especially when you're dealing with numbers, it's very international. So, you know, everybody speaks math. So we can take advantage of, like, my job wouldn't exist without the internet, basically. You know, so 50 years ago, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing at all. But now what we can do, and with the toxicology part of it, we actually make all our data public, so that if you think that I did my analysis badly or you could do it better, then the data are out there and you can take them and try to do a better job yourself. And so I think that's, you know, these new technologies that are coming online are having a huge effect on our ability to actually communicate these sorts of huge studies and let people have at it for themselves.
If you have a little bit of self-confidence, I imagine that prospect is very gratifying. If you don't have much, I imagine it's terrifying.
Right. What we, being the agency, want to communicate with outreach activities is that it's not that you have to have my particular expertise or someone else that you know their particular expertise. Is that, you know, I think in a lot of ways everyone can bring something to the table. So if you have a lot of experience with, you know, if you're a physician, for instance, but not necessarily a mathematician, or if you work in a community and you see actually things that, you know, maybe are affecting the kids in that community, those kinds of expertise can all be brought to bear. And my particular one is that I try to think about the numbers and think about the stats. You know, that's what I offer. But, you know, I certainly can't say anything about I don't treat patients or see patients. So, you know, I think it is, it hopefully encourages diversity in looking at the problem by actually having the information out there.
You told me before we went on the air that you've been in government since September of 2006. What was it originally that attracted you to the federal government as a place to do the kind of work that you're doing?
Well, I think one thing that's, you know, as a scientist, you have, you know, a few basic career tracks in academia, government, or industry, and I think I was attracted to government because I definitely like team projects, and I think as in the government, you do sacrifice a little bit of maybe personal scientific freedom to go off and do whatever you want, like you could if you were more of an academic, but you do get to work on big teams that are trying to tackle big problems, and I think that was exciting to me, the prospect of that, of having come from a university where I was doing things I enjoyed, but, you know, you want to do something that, okay, I see these big problems out there, and, you know, you want to take a stab at it. So I think, you know, the government's a good place for that kind of thing.
All right, last question, and this is just strictly for the narcissist in me. What do you get for winning this award?
Well, I actually get no money in my pocket, so there's not a get that way. But what I do get is that I think I'm most excited about is actually the opportunity to go up there to D.C. and meet with the leaders of EPA, and then there's a White House day as well, where, you know, hopefully the president gets to be there and, you know, get a picture and stuff like that. And I think that's, you know, that's really fun. Like, that's honestly the most exciting part for me. And I think otherwise you do get a little bit of research support money to go for multiple years, actually, to go and kind of carry out these things that you won the award for. So it's a, you know, it's a really, really nice package.
Well, congratulations to you, David. It's always great to talk to somebody who's doing something really on the edge in government, and I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much.